Thank you for being here. We do have a forum with seven of 11 council members attending. And I expect possibly one or two others to arrive. You received an agenda in advance of the meeting, and I'd request a motion to approve the agenda or to make any modifications to it. Thank you, Leland. Thank you, Tom. Is there any debate or discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? It's unanimous. You received some meeting notes of the September 13 meeting by email. They're not in your packet today. We had no comments and no corrections from anyone that I'm aware of. Is that correct, Laura?
That's correct.
So I'd entertain a motion to approve those meeting notes.
So moved.
Thank you, Todd. Is there a second? Leland, thank you. Any debate or discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Any abstentions? It's unanimous. So we have two parts to our meeting. Well, several actually, but in terms of reports, we're going to have three brief reports on projects we're involved in or monitoring. And then after that, we're going to devote most of our time today reviewing and talking about our GSL, or Water for GSL study, and the ballot, draft screening process we've gone through and where we go from here. So let's start with the first of the three reports. So, Laura Ault, would you please give us an update on the Great Salt Lake Salinity Committee?
Yes.
Is that the right name?
So far.
So far.
So we've been working with Jeff Dunblecker from CH2M to create a kind of a charter and a scope of work, and working on narrowing down individuals that will be invited on that committee. So the goal of the committee, for those of you to go way back, but there's the breach in the Union Pacific Causeway has an adaptive management berm. And so the idea behind this, with an MOU with DWQ and the railroad, is that we would have a committee that would look at the salinity that's part of this charter, is look at the salinity on the Great Salt Lake and decide if there need to be modifications to the berm. So we're working on putting that together. I think we're pretty close to rolling something out. Our director has been out of town, but we need him to approve what the work that Jeff's been doing with us, and then I think we'll move ahead. So I would expect something in the next 6 weeks, by the end of the year.
6 weeks, right.
So I would like to give you more details.
Not approved yet, huh?
Right, yeah. Does anyone have any questions?
What kind of representation do you have that you've identified?
So those with interests on the lake. So we would obviously look at the aquaculture interests, the mineral interests, the migratory bird interests, those type of interests.
Right. So mostly science.
Yeah, it's going to be a science-based committee.
Right.
I mean, that's the only way we feel confident. So the scientists working on the lake, or those with great knowledge of their interests in the lake. Yeah. So we're trying to keep it out of, elected officials or anything like that. We want it to be a science-based committee. And it's kind of an arm of the Great Salt Lake technical team.
Right.
Basically, is kind of how we're looking at it.
And funding for this?
Yeah, we have none.
No.
Just that I asked.
The cock is cheap.
Yeah, so we've cobbled together a little funding to get Jeff started on this and to facilitate an initial meeting or two, and then we'll have to decide after that how we keep funding. I mean, it could be really cheap if you just have meetings every couple of weeks. We can handle that, right? Like, we don't have funding for this either.
Right.
As well.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, any type of project work or anything. So that's part of getting together in the charter is how do we see this going forward? Thanks. Great questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Laura, other questions or comments? I look forward to that, Laura. All right, our next update is on the Integrated Water Resource Management Model. Laura Vernon, would you give us an update?
Yes. I guess I probably should have updated the title in the agenda, too. It seems to have evolved to GSLIM, or Great Salt Lake Integrated Management Model, to shorten it up. But the model is pretty much complete. We CH2M turned over a version to, or introduced a version to Water Resources, and Water Resources had questions on a few issues. The two primary issue ones were making some changes to the snowmelt, or making modifications to the snowmelt factor that goes into the model, and the other one was looking at the causeway flow and how the communication and the code within the model talks to each other. Not exactly sure about all of the details on that, but CH has wrapped up the snowmelt modifications and they're wrapping up the causeway flow changes this week, and so they'll hand it back to Water Resources to get to have them get more comfortable with the model. And then from there, we'll look at, you know, just continuing to have Water Resources feel comfortable using the tool. We want to make sure that we talked about this in a few meetings prior, but having, making sure Water Resources and Forestry Privacy Lands are on the same page as far as rolling this out as an effective communication tool. That's kind of, we talked about that as phase two of this. We've looked at some possible rollout scenarios, developing some scenarios that we can all talk about and work through together. And then finally introducing a user-friendly player version, but that has yet to be developed yet. So we're hoping by the next meeting we'll have a version of the model that Water Resources can feel good about moving forward with. But I think there are some additions and some changes that they would like to make to the model itself before we really start introducing it to the public.
And again, time frame on the introduction to the public, you think, is?
They should have their changes done this month and handed back over to us this month. So right. Provide another brief update at the next advisory council meeting, maybe some scenarios.
Excellent. Any questions? Yes, Lena.
I think we talked about developing some sort of policy to field requests by the public to exercise this model based on certain criteria that they want you to look at. Have you drafted something about that would address that kind of dynamic?
I think we talked about that as a group for the advisory council to serve as that conduit, I guess, and I'm not sure that's the route we want to go. So short of looking at that, we haven't looked at a route. I think that would be involved with this public rollout phase. But we'd definitely be open to recommendations of what you think that would look like. You know, if some of the public comes to us and wants the model run with the tools that we have, how do we make that request? Or how do people make that request?
Is there any way to charge people if they want? I mean, you guys are going to have to run it.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we have the online version, user player version, it's going to be difficult for you to keep up with requests, especially for anybody anytime can ask.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, I think we need to have some parameters about that, too.
I mean, it's good, you know, without the online player version.
You know, one of the things that was discussed at the Executive Water Task Force meeting on Monday was looking into the relationship between the lake effect, precipitation, and how that affects water rights holders and their, you know, expectations of volumes and things like that. I mean, it's just a very complex but very relevant conversation.
I got addressed, thank you.
Other questions or comments?
So we'll get an update on the technical side of that. Maybe we have.
I'm hoping at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm. I think having some sort of policy, whether it's through a river records management request, it's got to be available, and just providing a way that can happen that's constructive and doesn't lead to mayhem in terms of abuse or use of the model or misinformation.
Speaking for the division, I think we would very much appreciate the council's input on how to receive those requests and how we process them.
Is that something that the department or division with AG can come up with a, there's some examples across the country of how that's.
One way of doing that would be to, if you want the council involved, would be to submit those requests through the council, and you guys act upon the ones that the council recommended forward. And that's one way of involving the council.
Which we discussed that, right?
Yeah.
About a year ago.
The council might be inclined to sell it.
To make the request? Yeah.
And, you know, modeling some scenarios that the council is interested in.
Laura?
I was just going to say we're missing somebody really important in this discussion, which is water resources, who will be.
Krishna is here.
Yeah, right. But I think that, you know, talking with them about how, because they're going to ultimately be the owner of the model, how they envision this working. And so I think that we need to include them. And I don't know, I'm guessing, Krishna, you're not ready to talk about how you want to do that right now.
Well, you know, I'm new to this, so I started. Last 3 months. When I joined the department, and I started working on that model. So there are so many, we found there are so many mismatches and so many missing components in the model. So we can imagine that if you are talking the Great Salt Lake and upstream, all the water circuits really complex. So model lacks on the groundwater. It's not, you know, capturing nicely. And there is missing component of snow. You know, in child, you have to deal with the snow if they are not considering the snow. And there is also some issues with the lake water and salinity that we did some of the board break open on that and we gave them feedback. And also we suggested them, you know, what can be done. So, you know, without knowing the contractual process and everything, I felt like still, you know, we can use this model, but it's too early to say, you know, just to decide based on the model. So, you know, my opinion would be maybe when they respond the model, when they, you know, send the model, maybe a technical committee, small group can look on the model and, you know, assess how the model works and what we can work further. So that would be the next step. But with respect to the technical capability, capability, I think within the division we are ready to handle this.
You know, Don?
Yeah, Lena.
One of the things that would probably be very interesting, I think we probably should consider doing, or we need done with the model, would be to utilize what's in the state water strategy and put those assumptions into the model based upon current practices and then what is recommended in that strategy to see what effect it has on the lake in improving the lake level and quantity. And that's the strategy that's being adopted by the government. So, I mean, I think that would be a good one. And maybe, you know, what if you went to the scorched earth studies, you know, process, what does that do? You know, the NOLON, you get yourself a drip irrigation for 17 square feet. You know, what are the net effects of these different steps that could be taken? I think the building into it or making some assumptions and then building into the model, the conservation or the water right changes that could potentially allow farmers to release water but not lose water rights, a lot of those things are been talked about in the strategy would be good to put in that model and see what the effect is. Is that possible?
As we termed all these like new inputs that we add to the model as hanger honors, so I mean we'd have to figure out how if that data
is possible.
Yeah.
Well, it would be nice to know what that would do for the lake because the state has adopted that strategy.
Maybe
I think the ultimate goal of that model would be that, you know, if we get everything, address all the science behind the modeling, then that would be the next step to incorporate the scenarios. If we have those scenarios, then you know, what would
But I guess my point again is if we run, if we have a model that works,
yeah,
And if it's capable of being adjusted, if it's not capable of being adjusted easily to make those strategy points in the model, then our model's pretty weak. So I think, again, putting those strategy points in the model would allow us to then see what effect the strategy would have on the lake. And that gives us a lot of information. I mean, you know, the public is never going to understand the model. But what they can understand is if we squeeze this much out of our current usage, you know, the 25% off of current reduction, you know, what does that do for the lake? What does it do for the lake immediately? You know, in the short term and in the long term? You know, and so some of those items, I mean, it just makes sense to me that the lake's impact is significant enough that we ought to look at what the current plan is, strategy is, to try and make water work for the rest of 40 years.
There's a principal purpose for developing the model was to be able to plug in those
right
policy options and see what the impact would be on the lake.
If you bring that back to us next meeting, that'd be great.
We should be able to incorporate that by then, no problem.
I think the intention was to run scenarios.
Right.
And that was the next part of the model. And so I think you can take the assumptions from the state water strategy and create scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be everything that was in that state water strategy because one came after the other. I think you'll be able to do that.
But the majority components that will really save water or put more in-stream water could be are probably and were intended to be part of that model. And so those could be plugged in.
Sure.
I mean, there's some small ones in there. It may not be that way, but there's most of the big issues are.
Tom?
I'm fully on board with what Leland says. One other element that there's a subcommittee to the Executive Water Task Force that's looking at watershed councils. So that's one way that the state of Idaho and others, the way that they manage their watersheds from, and at the table they have water rights, water quality, stakeholders, a group like this, but they're actually doing administrative policy decisions on their water rights. And having that tool, as we look at those agencies interacting, can allow us to better manage that. So an example I would give, I know that the Division of Water Quality is looking at ways to address nutrients or other pollutants in the environment. And one of those is if you have a dry lake, then there's nothing to regulate. So that leads all the way back to keeping water in the streams and rivers in the lake so that you have a more holistic solution. Having this model, that gives them something as they negotiate with a permit holder, whether it's POTW or another entity in EPA, and say, I have a more, I'll call it elegant solution, as opposed to just hammering the same nail that's getting crooked and bent and not creating a positive result on the lake. Having that tool is going to be important. If it's too late, it's going to be too late. We're going to say, oh, we could have done something. So I think coming to the next meeting, it would be helpful if you don't, what do you need to get to that point in terms of scope, time, and money? And even if it isn't within your budget, that allows other stakeholders, other agency stakeholders, other private and public stakeholders, to work on that with you in collaboration. But I'm two hands up with Leland's idea that we need to go to that next step with the model, and we're running out of time because the policy is being implemented and the public understanding of what they do and how it does or doesn't impact the lake, there's a sweet spot of time for us to at least have some good positive results. Mm-hmm. And there should be a lot of money spent on other efforts that may or may not improve the lake. So there's some other, those resources might be better applied to that knowledge.
Other questions or comments? It's a good discussion, thank you. I wanted to back up on your agenda. I want to give Laura a break here between presentations, but I don't want to forget the Promontory Point landfill. We had a presentation from the sponsors of that project.
It's in January this year.
January. As to what the project was, there have been some developments, and Laura, would you give us an update?
Yeah, unfortunately, we couldn't get Alan Moore from DEQ, the solid waste program manager, wasn't able to come, and I think they're planning, hopefully, to come in January. So, so Promontory Landfill has applied for a Class 5 application, which is, I think, about the highest level of waste you can accept in the state. And we've met with them, and the Department of Natural Resources has submitted some comment letters to the Public Lands Policy Office that were then given to the Solid Waste Program Manager. And we've talked to them about them, but our concerns are, I don't want to say concerns, we have some concerns about a number of things. It affecting the how the landfill, if they got this classified application, would affect water quality around the lake, with concerns about wildlife, you know, the brine shrimp, the migratory birds, also fugitive dust that would come off, you know, with the mineral resources that are happening. If there's fugitive dust getting into the mineral ponds adjacent to the landfill, and fugitive waste, so the plastics and stuff, how if those got into, and that would affect wildlife as well as the mineral operations. And there's also concerns by UGS about a sage wave or a tsunami if there were an earthquake. We talk about this a lot in the Great Salt Lake. People sometimes snicker, but it's a real concern. If there would be an earthquake along the Wasatch Front, you could produce a large sage wave that could, you know, overtop the landfill. And then there's also UGS, the Geologic Survey, has concerns about the actual geology of where the landfill is seated and making sure that they're protecting the aquifer in that area. Those are just a few of the issues. So if you want copies of the letters that the Public Lands Policy Office submitted on behalf of the department, we can get them to you online, or we can email them to kind of detail more of these concerns.
Thanks, Laura. Questions? Comments?
In conversations with Alan Moore and Matt Sullivan in the division, in their preparation to once again revisit the completed application for the Class 5 permit, they welcome input at this point in time so that they can consider those parts of the conversation rather than wait for a public commenting period. So if the advisory council was perhaps interested in drafting some sort of letter to submit to that, to the division, that this might be the timely point to do that.
Or if your individual organizations that you represent want to submit comments, they would also be willing, or meet with them. They're really, at this point, trying to gather as much information as they can.
There will also be a public comment period, right?
So I think they've already, and that's the part of, I think we've already sort of passed through one comment period, is that correct?
Well, the RDCC.
Yeah, and so that's where, and that's where we need to have them come present, and we can get with them and get more information so that if there are, when there is a public comment period, we can get that out. But at this point, I think the one's correct. If you guys have concerns or questions, if you want to contact Matt Sullivan or Alan Moore directly, my feeling is they'd be more than happy to talk to you and get whatever information they can. And it's not only environmental impacts, but also, you know, much like it's not an interim process, but, you know, are there economic impacts that could happen from this landfill? They're looking for that information too. So I did pass along the advisory council's economic impact analysis of the Great Salt Lake, and they were very interested in that information.
Don, is there any reason why we perhaps as a council wouldn't draft a letter now just expressing our general concern about some of these various things that the department has listed, and then we could have the opportunity when it goes public comment to do more? Or
we can certainly do that. We'd need to determine what our position is. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds to me that as Laura's talking, there's concerns for nearly every interest around the lake, it sounds like. Just a thought to get ahead of the curve a little bit. I mean, we don't have to put detail in there, but we could certainly.
Well, let me do a kind of a quick straw poll. How many of you would be interested in having the council submit a kind of a pre-comment letter, just raising concerns, not necessarily taking strict positions?
Can I mention something really quickly? Sorry, yeah. That might be important. So it's already a class one landfill. Like, that's already, so to accept household waste, that. That's a go. So I just want to make sure
we're talking about the elevation of
the elevation
class.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. You know, one of the general comments that could be made, I think that's important, is that prior to making the decision to go to anything more than what it currently is, there be adequate research to ensure that protection is occurring for the lake. You know, and that could mean that you don't get that change in classification until you know, you know, done groundwater tests, have done potential scenarios for your tsunami and everything else you guys talked about. And those things need to be investigated and researched and then make an informed decision. And so our general comment, because we don't probably have enough science to be specific, would be that we believe that it's very important that you make sure that there's adequate research. And that would be pretty simple. I think it's direct and it covers the basis of all these issues.
To Leland's point, it's not taking necessarily a position on any one specific area, it's just simply encouraging them to do their homework, you know, ahead of that.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Sure.
I'll second.
Discussion.
Just a quick question. The motion on the table again is
to submit a letter raising issues related to making sure we have answers to the questions we need before moving forward with the Class 5 permit.
And they, excuse me, they're planning on coming, DEQ, Alan and Matt are planning on coming to the next meeting.
Okay.
To talk about their process, the permitting process, and perhaps issues and concerns that they have heard already in the process.
Okay. So again, we're not staking out a position on their application. It would be just to elevate the concerns, recommend adequate research and answers to key questions.
Would you present it at the next meeting to them? Yeah. They come?
Well, I want to be the guardian of process here and not make sure we don't ramrod things past people until I have a time to think about them and ponder them and see what the implications are to their constituents. But I also don't want to stand in the way of progress. So let me just ask, straw poll-wise, anyone have process concerns with how we're addressing this issue right now? Tom?
Question to the division. Isn't it a clear process for the permitting that they have to submit these things, and if they don't, they can't move forward?
That's my understanding, but I'm not familiar with their process.
They haven't submitted anything. For the board to weigh in on just a permit process that should take care of that. And if our rules defined in that, and there's already a stopgap that they have to submit it, then.
So they've submitted the application
to
DEQ.
Nothing to update.
And does this board have a role ultimately for approval or anything like that?
No, just as our division doesn't have any approval in it either. It's squarely in the solid waste program's approval.
And under your rules, does it help you to have a letter from us saying these are important
issues?
Well,
I think what talking to Alan and Matt from DEQ is they appreciate any information.
Oh, okay.
So any information they can, so if you know, they have an application and we've read through the application and said, well, this information doesn't answer our question as to whether it'll protect, how you're gonna protect fugitive dust. And
okay.
So how they can go back and ask the applicant questions, like we feel you need more information.
And it's more than staff asking that, it's this body. Okay, thank you.
Jeff.
The way that the approval process works on Class 5 is there's four bodies that approve it. One is the other legislature. They took action on that last year and approved the Class 5 permit to go forward. It has to be signed off by the governor. It has to be signed off by DEQ. And then the county that resides in ultimately has to sign off on it as well. So at this point, only one of the four is taking place, just the legislature. I would anticipate that the governor would either be third or fourth. DEQ would be second, and then the county would be third or fourth. And so right now, nothing's happened.
That's your county?
Yeah. They do have their conditional use permit for a Class 1, which is intra-state. So they can take solid waste in from inside state boundaries. But, you know, the Class 5 is down the road. And that that's not there yet.
So without putting you on the spot, how do you view what's been proposed here today? Is it premature or timely?
I apologize, I'm coming a little late, so I missed most of the discussion we were with in Salt Lake. But
we need to quit scheduling our meetings so that they conflict with the commissioner's meeting, so
well,
I apologize for that.
The governor did it, so we couldn't say no. But they've been good to work with. And they obviously have a vested interest in making sure that they are treating the environment with respect. Because if they don't and anything does happen, DEQ has the ability to come in and withdraw their permit if there is anything that goes wrong. And I don't think anybody wants to be tried in the court of public opinion these days with social media and everything that's out there. So they've been good to work with so far on our part.
Let me just clarify. My point in us sending the letter is not to draw a hard line and say, you know, hell no. This is to Laura's point that if DEQ is looking for either questions, things they ought to be considering, if this council has some concerns about things without even taking a position, I think the letter could be simply, you know, 30,000 feet saying, these are some things that as you go through the process, we'd like you to make sure that you look at. And they're going to go through the process regardless, and we'll have opportunity, each of our individual organizations, to make comment during public comment. But you know, my experience with this with permits is that sometimes if an outside agency doesn't raise the question, then perhaps through the permit process, the division may not have reason to delve into answering those specific areas. Okay. So, again, I have no problems with that, and I'm certain they're going to operate the way that they'll want to operate. And again, our companies use landfills as well. It's just, what is the overarching impact?
Just briefly, I was going to say, I think the nature of the Class 5 waste stream has different implications for the lake potentially. And so it's, Class 5 is a really big category. There's some things in Class 5 that may have much more significant threat, pose much more significant risks for the lake than that question.
Okay, we have a motion and a second and a clarification of the motion. Any further debate or discussion?
I have a question. Jeff, does the governor also need to sign off on this?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Thank you. Okay, thank you for those reports and for the questions and discussion. About a year ago, we determined that the Great Salt Lake level was a high priority consensus issue for the Advisory Council. And we spent some time discussing what meaningful role we might have, if any. We determined that we should gather from the public and publish potential strategies to address lake elevation, if nothing more than just to inform the debate, and as a starting point for further discussion by the council. We retained a consulting firm to gather and compile those strategies, and we reviewed a draft at our July meeting and approved a report at our September meeting. It included 72 strategies. In September, we also agreed to start a process of screening those strategies, and the first step to help us, almost as a straw poll, if you will, identify strategies that there might be some consensus on was to do a screening ballot, an anonymous ballot of council members, the anonymity to allow some boldness, I guess. The objective would be to determine whether there is consensus support or opposition to specific strategies, and also help us discuss what role we might have moving forward. We need to talk about whether we want to take an advocacy role or treat this more like our economic report, where we sponsored, prepared, published a report, and relied on other people to use the results in their advocacy efforts. So you've got the results of this ballot, and I apologize you didn't receive it sooner. I got my last ballot yesterday, so it's pretty simple and straightforward. The greens are support, the yellows are a combination of don't know maybe or need more information, and the reds oppose. Makes a nice little colorful grid here on the right. Bonus question, in the upper left you see the green, yellow, red, looks like a flag. Can you tell me what country that is?
It's Burundi. Like, no.
That's a good guess.
It's African country.
Hey, that's a good call.
I'm trying to remember which one.
That's impressive.
Sierra Leone.
Yeah. Anyone?
Ghana.
Ghana's is upside down. That's a good guess. Getting real close. What?
Cameroon.
No. Don't want to spend too much time on this. Ethiopia. That's the Ethiopian flag in the upper left-hand corner. Okay, so what you have here is on the far left-hand column is the strategy number as outlined in the report. Then you have the long title of strategy, and I apologize for the small print. I just couldn't get any bigger on a useful format here. That long title is the name that our consultant gave to each strategy. And in some cases, it's very descriptive, and in some other cases, it's less descriptive. And in a few cases, it's downright confusing. So I apologize for those. Then you've got the grid 1 to 10, an outline of the ballots, green, yellow, red. Then you've got a column GYR, that's a tally of green, yellow, and red votes. The next column called consensus is my doing, and so I'll take full responsibility for that. I went through and determined that we had a consensus or were close to it. The dark green is going to be 9, 8, or 7 green votes. Or 9 or 8 green votes, and the light green is going to be 7 green votes. The far right column, WS, means I asked the co-chair of the governor's task force or committee that prepared the water strategy to make a comparison of these strategies to what's in the governor's water strategy. So WS means water strategy, and that again is a subjective comparison. So that's kind of the lay of the land. And again, I apologize if it's a little difficult to line up and follow. I wanted to make it simple and not too unwieldy. What I'd like to do is talk about where we go from here. And I think to help us get there, I'm going to tell you what I'm, rather than wait for the discussion, I'm going to tell you what my initial recommendation is. And then we can talk about that, or we can just ignore that and talk about how you want to go forward here. But my initial recommendation would be that the council approve all the green items as consensus recommendations of the council to address Great Salt Lake declining lake levels. Again, the dark green has 8 or 10 votes, 8, 9, or 10, and the light has 7 support votes. There are also 2 red consensus items, or items that are predominantly red, that I think we ought to adopt as consensus opposed items. And I'll go through what those are in a minute. Then there are 4 items that are marked with a question mark. These are items that have 6 green votes. 3 of them have no red, so it's green and yellow, so no opposition. 1 of them does have 1 red. And I think we should consider either adding those to our consensus items or agree to take a further look at them for possible inclusion in the future. And then lastly, I think we ought to look at other items. And you can take the next step. You can look at 5 vote items or any items you're interested in and identify those where you sincerely think there's a possibility we could come to consensus. We just lack information or understanding of the idea. So that would be the recommendation I'd make as to what we do. Whether we do that today, or whether it's unfair to spring this on you today, and whether it's fair to let you ponder until our next meeting and take formal action next meeting, I'd be open to consideration. This is a long-term issue. I know people are anxious to take action on things, but we want to make sure we get it right, and we want to make sure we're fair to everyone around the table.
So, Don, were you saying you would combine the light green and the dark green?
I would.
To make consensus?
Right. And if you want, we can go quickly down those consensus, those items, and you can, I'll watch your body language and see if you gag as to whether it's in the wrong place. But for example, 1, determine consumptive use coefficients, such as evaporation, transpiration for various water applications to improve efficiency. In some instances, that's already been done. They may be a little out of date. But there are no reds, there's no opposition. 7 in favor and 3 unsure for whatever reason. Number 3, continue to support and provide resources for the IWRM, which is now the GSL. What?
Integrated model.
ILMM, GSLM?
GSLM.
That was an 8-2-0 vote. Number 4, complete an analysis of the public health effects of the exposed sediments around Great Salt Lake at low levels. That is in our research database as a priority. That's a 7-3-0 vote. Number five, incorporate best management practices for water conservation at the watershed scale into policy making decisions. An 8-2-0 vote. So no reds there. Number 8, facilitate communication between state organizations, basically between all stakeholders, if you would. 7-3-0. My understanding that some of the yellow votes were the result of not opposing the idea, but not knowing that it should be our role to go forward with these. And I didn't make myself clear in the ballot, and I should have, that what we were looking for is, do you support these ideas, not that the council should do them, because as you know, we have no money, we have limited staff, and we all have other day jobs, so. Number 11, develop a public education campaign that includes benefits of conservation and how specific decisions can benefit the Great Salt Lake. Number 20, interrupt me if you want to comment or have questions about these. Implement a vegetation control around the Great Salt Lake by removing vegetation or replacing high transpiring plants with lower transpiring plants. Number 21, eliminate non-native phreatophytes and other high water use plants from natural and artificial channels. Number 26, expand the ability to purchase or otherwise acquire water for in-stream flow uses to entities other than state agencies. So among the consensus ones, this is unique from the ones we've already looked at, and this one, while it has the requisite number of green votes, it also has a red, so it has a no. Whether you want to treat those with one or two no votes differently, I don't know. The next one would be number 30. Authorize split season leases, such as where a portion of the water rights used for irrigation for part of the season, and then the remainder is made available for in-stream use during the same calendar year. So this isn't mandated, it just authorizes, it allows it to happen. And that's an 8-1-1 vote. Next one would be number 39, allow irrigators or other users to send unneeded water downstream without being penalized or at risk of losing a forfeiture. That one's a 10-0-0. It's the only one that got 10 votes. That truly is a consensus item. Next one would be number 47. Increase the water use efficiency of ag by increased efficiency of irrigation systems. That was a 7-3-0. Next one. In 50, increase the efficiency of residential, commercial, institutional, agricultural systems, i.e. water conservation. That one's 7-3-0.
Sorry, what number was that one?
That one was number 50. And then there are no greens on the last page. I'm not sure how that worked. So the two red consensus items are number 16 and 65. So let's look at 16. And there's some question as to whether you want to take a position opposing certain strategies. 16 is mine groundwater from subsurface aquifers for additional supply to surface waters into the Great Salt Lake. And that was a 037. So it's this fairly strong negative consensus. The other red consensus item was number 65. extend the Lake Powell Pipeline north, distributing Utah's Colorado River rights to the Great Salt Lake. I thought that was a creative strategy, right?
Long way.
You know, we asked people to be creative, so. And that 65 vote was 0, 2, and 8. So, strong consensus, probably on practical reasons, right? And maybe philosophical. So those are the red and greens. There are four items that I marked with a question mark. They're the six vote items, and three of them had no reds. So six greens and four yellows. One of them did have a red. Let me mention those. And as you recall, my recommendation was that those items be included either as consensus or that we take them under further consideration to see if more information would cause us to reach consensus. Number nine, create and empower basin councils and our groups of watershed stakeholders with a goal of augmenting inflows to Great Salt Lake. That's an idea that's under fairly serious consideration. And the next question mark item, next page is number 25. Expand state agency acquisition of water with appropriated funds or acquisition of water rights by gift, donation, lease, or other arrangement. This would not require legislative change. It would just use the in-stream flow statute, and it was a little unclear in the description, so that might have been the cause of the one red vote, but that's a 6-3-1. The next question mark is number 40, 640. Develop and implement other measures to supply water to Great Salt Lake, primarily by ensuring that water conserved upstream makes it to Great Salt Lake. That's similar to 39, which was our 10 consensus. And in my own narrow mind, number 40 seems to me is essential for most of our strategies to have any positive impact on the lake. So that's why, even though it's a 6, I think with some discussion, maybe some of the people who are on the yellow side would switch their vote on that one, because I think that's an essential for all of these. And then the next one with question mark is number 44, meter all secondary water, thereby creating a financial incentive to conserve secondary water and allow more water to reach Great Salt Lake. So that was 6-4 with no red votes. And I marked that again because it was 6 votes, but also because it's been tried and it's been shown to have a fairly material positive impact on conservation. And so it's one that we ought to at least seriously study.
My suggestion would be that we include the ones that are 6 votes for as recommendations. If you wanted to amend that, you could say it, and if they got a red vote, maybe not. But
so the 3, 6,
at least
4.
The 3 should be in there.
Yeah. I think a substitute motion that on the ones that are 6s, perhaps today we spend 2 or 3 minutes talking about them and then do a vote.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Well, I mean, several of the things that I looked at in here were how several of the strategies kind of connected to each other. And maybe differently for me too. I kind of, in the world I live in, I looked at it from a legislative perspective too and started to think about water rights and what is currently allowed under existing water law, what a policy would do to that, what's current law on in-stream flow that Tim and I worked on for years versus what you'd have to do legislatively to change things. So, I think maybe some dialogue on some of those 6s maybe
okay, well,
could be helpful. In particular for me, 40, 26, 40, and even 47 are all kind of things like efficiency. When we talk about efficiency, just simply from an ag standpoint, when one ag producer is efficient with their water, that water that's left in the stream goes to the next water right holder. So in order to be efficient in the entire basin, everyone has to be efficient. So one ag producer going from flood irrigation to sprinkler is more efficient. What they're doing is being efficient, and the water right then goes to the secondary water right holder. So it's a big process to get that water from one irrigation sprinkler from flood to all the way down. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Which I totally support the concept, I guess I kind of looked at and thought, well, how do you do that in an entire basin? Is it incentive based? Do you encourage all the ag producers to go from flood irrigation to sprinkler irrigation and tied with in-stream flows? That's where my brain.
Where does the incentive come from?
Yeah, and that's where my brain started to probably get too complex on a few of these things. Where I know I put yellow because I was like, man, that's complicated. You know, how do you get what we're trying to do is put more water in the lake, which is awesome. How do you get it from start of the road to the lake is a whole other discussion of, you know, if I'm an ag producer and I choose to be efficient and go sprinkler irrigation, I could do some of that water to in-stream flow, but also by conserving my right, do I jeopardize not using it and losing a portion of the right, which then doesn't stay in the stream? So all that becomes complicated, and I know that's way deeper than we all wanted to get, but.
That's a good.
About questions.
Those are questions I have on the legal side of things, is what can we do? Because we're all after the same goal, but how do we do it and not disrupt? Because on the Water Commission side, I mean, there's been hundreds of hours of dialogue on conservation. And then there's the question of, well, whose water am I conserving?
So if water is conserved, Todd,
would
you support allowing a water user, so long as you're not disadvantaging a junior water user, and there may be no examples
of
this.
And I think that's probably
to get their water to the lake without risk of forfeiture or diversion.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, there's two of the four that I think are really complex. One is watershed councils. That's one of them, and I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, we got the majority that wanted it, and the other ones were, hey, it's okay, maybe not, but. And then the second one was needed in a secondary water. Again, it's fairly straightforward why you want to do it, because it encourages conservation. Does it incentivize it with unit rates? So those two are reasonably simple to say maybe they should be included. Just in my opinion.
What about number 40, which is basically the mechanism to get water conserved upstream to the lake downstream? At least the concept, without endorsing any specific change to law or regulation.
So I would support that with, I would add in the word support. And one element I want to add is many of these items, I put a little term around them because they're actively in the arena at the Executive Water Task Force, or one of the many subcommittees that Tim and I were talking about around the table are on. The Watershed Council's Division of Water Resources is looking at that with legislative input. The water banking is a way that irrigators could make that water available to go all the way to the Great Salt Lake. And so those pieces are falling into place. So I think it's good for us to say that we support that, even if it's a matter of one of the other things I was going to recommend as a motion at some point is, even now I think we're ready to do a letter that says, hey Governor, here's some of our top priorities that we want you to support in other initiatives throughout the state, with your agencies or your funding or on the legislative front. Because it may these overlap with active legislative dialogue on the Executive Water Task Force. I would throw in one more that I think I like Todd's idea of having some dialogue about the six ones that just got the six vote. If I can ask you to look at number three, number two. Update the economic analysis of the Great Salt Lake uses and quantitative economic costs associated with low lake levels. There's the science continues to be developed, and I think when I look at the beautiful, wonderful chart that says, you know, here's the health of the lake, and then we have our economic reports. There's a couple of areas of data gaps that are evolving both scientifically and socially and politically. Air quality is one. Lots of interest, lots of money, and the public health of the state. It's a public health issue in terms of air quality. And if that, understanding that and then plugging that in actually can help direct public interest, political interest, and funding to our Great Salt Lake needs. So I think that, maybe the timing isn't right now, but have that on the list when the air, you know, to tie that into the air quality. The second one is Great Salt Lake levels in terms of if the lake levels go too low and it's impacting, there's a couple of areas of impact that weren't quantified economically, financially in the document. One is the Great Salt Lake effect. I've been trying to find empirical data beyond some anecdotal, and the best I can find is from 1970 that shows that 3 to 8% of the water in the Wasatch Front and in the Uintas is impacted by the Great Salt Lake effect. So we're in a close bubble. That has significant impact to our recreation industry, from the greatest snow on earth to the Great Salt Lake, right? Keep the Great Salt Lake great. Second is the oldest water right holders in the state of Utah may be impacted with further diversions on the lake because it's lower lake levels, less seed, you know, evaporation. And while the state spends money on cloud seeding, we're killing the golden goose here that is the Great Salt Lake. So there's a couple elements here that I think I see the red ones, you know, that I would ask, you know, if, with that information, if others, you know, whoever might cast a, I don't think it's where we want to spend our time or money. I think that's a big one because, as has been said, the reports that we've done have been cited many times over from the governor on down to the local community on the economic impact of the Great Salt Lake. And then I think the other, the evolution on the PFTWs and nutrients, I think the costs have not gone down. So there's other, I just throw that out there in the spirit of Todd saying that some of these, we got the 6 votes, might be worth keeping on the list, or even, I guess, Don, if you sort it by those, it doesn't mean we never get to them. We don't exclude them from the dialogue of interest. And Tim, I'm hoping that I captured everything that you caught, Linda, that I was trying to, there's an interplay here of what's happening at the legislative level. Many subgroups are working on committees.
Yeah, the biggest momentum, I think, legislatively are basin councils, water banking, and then there's an instrument flow component to that. So,
yeah.
And then tied into that is this whole concept of shepherd. So how do you move water from point A to point B with
without
priorities and everything else? And
so I think a lot of those pieces may see some legs getting turned and however we can help
all this body of discussion.
Hey, Don, I had
a little
different thought. As we went through all of these, and I think, you know, we've all gone through these and voted on them, but as I see, and, you know, like you and I talked about yesterday, some of these overlap a great deal with all the things that, you know, you just mentioned with water banking and all of that, but the end result of that is trying to identify and incentivize a way to get wet water in the Great Salt Lake. And so as we look through these, I wonder if these don't effectively capture what we might put forth as kind of the top issue in some of these. If this is what we should do is take some of these, distill those down, and maybe kind of restructure them a little bit to really articulate what it is we're trying to advance here. Does that make sense?
In lieu of taking the next step on what we've already done?
Well, what I'm saying is maybe take this with everything we've done with consensus, but then maybe take those ideas and maybe
instill some overriding issues.
And then take those and then maybe build upon those, maybe our and prioritize those. But maybe, you know, as we talk about water banking, we talk about all of those things, maybe, you know, there's 3 or 4 in here that may or may not have consensus, but maybe we take that as a topic and decide if that's a topic that we want to advance, and then how do we want to advance it, rather than just taking what we have here.
Okay, any thoughts about that?
Sorry, Jeff, are you saying, make sure I'm understanding, it's not redoing what we've already done, it's just kind of sorting it out and saying, here are, like Don's saying, we've got the ones that got the 7 votes, we've got some that got the 6 votes, and here's how we want to push those forward. So it's not in any way, it's just how we push this forward.
I think it's right. And a couple of these that maybe we have consensus on, but maybe they overlap enough that you take that as an issue, and then we kind of sort through that a little bit and decide, you know, does that really articulate what it is we're trying to advance, or do we need to, you know, have a further discussion about that? Some of the things you've been talking about with the water task force and all of that, maybe we need to feed that in and maybe restructure what it is we're trying to do.
So I would foresee as a twist on that, maybe kind of a two-step process, because rather than the ballot really didn't ask which two or three or four do you think we should actively advocate. The process as it moved forward was, here's an identification of strategies that the general public has put forward. Which ones can we generally support, not advocate, but support? And the idea would be we would just summarize the results of our balloting and say, here are consensus ideas we support, here are some consensus ideas we oppose, here's some others we think are interesting and should be considered, and put that out there like we put the economic report out there, but we never really advocated the economic report. We made some presentations, et cetera, mm-hmm. but it was a tool that was useful and available for people to take. And then beyond that, from an advocacy standpoint, look at narrowing down what key elements we might want to actually tackle and move forward. Yep. I think that's an additional step and would require some additional process to make sure we're not running over people and as we
and overstepping
forward.
Our authority.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don?
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Tom and Heidi.
I would just like to raise a request to the council that you consider including a category that captures the yellow ones. You mentioned this earlier, Don, but if you look through these, many of them have a lot of hits on them. And basically, because there's lack of information and they require more research. And one in particular is number 17, it's the sleeping giant. You have the potential here to raise the interest and awareness how important groundwater is in protecting that. We could stand to lose a lot of habitat loss out there in the wetlands that surround the lake, not to mention keeping that standing pool.
I would foresee that as we move forward, that at each meeting we tackle a few of these like that. I think the yellow ones that are predominantly yellow, where people may or may not have been interested but just didn't know or weren't sure, and we could talk about them and maybe have some brief presentations about them and decide whether we wanted to move them up on the list or down on the list. I think we could. I'd call those study items.
Future research.
Yeah.
Some mechanism.
Tom was first, and then
just to make sure I understand, we beyond a tool for us in interacting with the division, are you contemplating that one of our roles is advising the governor? I wondered if taking this and then setting up, maybe now's not the right time, but in today's meeting or the next one, a motion that we submit to the governor with copy to the appropriate agencies, which they're allowed, saying this, we feel these are high priorities and should be on your list from an administration to legislative front.
Almost as a cover letter, if you will, to our report. Mm-hmm. Here's what we gathered. Yeah. We don't endorse all of them. We support some, oppose others, but here's our consensus.
Yeah.
And put it that way. Because you have to always remember here, we have no money, we have no staff, and we have no authority. And so, you know, we have to kind of pick our spots as to what we do. And I think under Leland's leadership, we made some really wise decisions that have furthered the debate and elevated the focus of the Great Salt Lake. The economic report, the health report, the research prioritization. I think those were all very useful tools and didn't require us to go out and knock on doors and be part of an active advocacy program, because we have no one to do that. The staff we do have is very limited, and they're not really allowed to go lobby on our behalf. So, you know, where we have done that, we've had someone step forward, like Dan Tuttle step forward on the Phragmites, and we had a subcommittee. We had a salinity subcommittee. We've done that in a couple of places, but it's taken someone willing to step forward and lead the charge.
Then I have another one, but I'll wait until after.
Chris.
We kind of wrestled, like everyone did, with
the value of a green, a value of a yellow, value of a red, and the yellow, all our yellow votes were kind of half and half. Well, this would be nice, but it might be harder to do or whatever. But we also want to remind ourselves that every yellow you choose means you can't work on a green, one green. I mean, that's oversimplifying it, but basically we felt like the yellows were, let's sort for the greens and really end up talking about the greens rather than, you know, building the yellows in, having the yellows influence the greens too much. I'm not saying this very eloquently, but basically limited amount of energy, and it probably should all be focused on the green somehow, ultimately. The reds are just probably not worth spending too much time on. And the yellows would be interesting and good and probably productive, but if they bump any of the greens, then I think we're kind of missing getting the cream of the crop and the most promising.
Okay, good thoughts. Other comments? Tom?
So one, I don't, I may have been in here, or may see if there's a concept being discussed at the Division of Water Quality and the EPA level of integrated management, where the tools that the state uses to regulate water quality permits, typically on a point discharge, you have an instance of nutrients, for instance, water quality, treat the water to a low level, and then you meet the permit requirements. And Leland and many others in this room know that many of the PUTWs are looking at hundreds of millions, if not billions, of investment to meet different levels of nutrient levels, right? The EPA allows more creative solutions where they can say, instead of spending $500,000 on mechanical infrastructure, we found a better way to spend that money that improves the watershed. Acquired water rights. Oregon, they spent millions of dollars on planting trees along the Willamette River rather than having to plant, invest in chillers, right? I would suggest, if it's not on here or maybe a different form for that, that this body support to the state DWQ, and I know American Gas is interested in this, but she's part of a larger body, which is the state of Utah, you know, copy to the head of the department as well as the governor, that we support integrated management. Is that the correct terminology, Leland, at this point? They twisted that term. Which allows the PUTWs in the state and other permitted entities to maybe take that resource. You know, we listen to the department here say, well, we don't have money to update the model. We don't have money to do research. Yet we have regulatory framework and requiring municipalities and districts to spend enormous amounts of money on, and I know this group is very keen to the nutrients versus no nutrients, that has to be resolved. But meanwhile, those entities are gonna have to spend hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars today that may or may not have an improvement. We all agree we need more water. So part of this in-stream flow, I'll give you an example. And I don't speak for Salt Lake City anymore, but one of the examples that will give them an out, and I think many of the other entities, is if the State Water Quality Division had the ability under the permit to say, you know what, I will give you a time. I will give you 20 years before you have to do an upgrade, or 10. Meanwhile, you, instead of spending $250 million on a plant upgrade, part of that I'll allow you to spend $50 million on acquiring water rights that goes all to the Great Salt Lake. That is very simple, but it has a lot of tentacles into it. But if DWQ had that ability, I think that they would embrace that wholeheartedly. And those that have water rights to sell them would embrace that. And I think, I can't speak for the POGWs, but there may be some, and I would be surprised if there weren't a lot, that would see that as an opportunity if the state could give them time, and we could spend, Lynn, am I missing the boat there?
No, I think anything that benefits the citizen more than another would be supported.
Yeah, so I didn't see that on the list, and that's a big fish in my mind, both from our water resources perspective, as well as resolving and getting a better understanding and getting money in the right place on the nutrients front, two of the biggest items here that are on the Great Salt Lake discussion. Putting the money in the best location.
Tom, there's a piece about 38. And number 38.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That was a 181.
So that's anti-degradation.
Yeah, but it kind of gets into really dilution and using flows to sort of meet those standards. And there's a flavor of it in there. I'm not saying
it's a perfect fit. Yeah, I'm just saying. Which, talking with the national at EPA headquarters at the national conference, they said, yeah, we'll support that. And we'll support the state doing that if they have a strong nexus. So I think the division needs to support that all the way from the governor and the legislature and EPA and this group helping further that, I'll call it novel solution. That I know, Leland, you know, we on the wastewater front have been pursuing other novel solutions to so I'll throw that out there, or maybe this is not the venue for that, but I think it's one of the largest opportunities for the lake.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea. I'm a little bit inclined to, we've already bitten off a lot. I'm a little bit inclined to try to stay with the 72 we have for now and then add as we go down the path. I'm happy to entertain that.
It wouldn't be a bad idea to put this for discussion at a future meeting.
Yeah.
And rather than try and put it into this matrix, but let's have a discussion, because it does have some unique impacts that could benefit the ecosystems more quickly than any mechanical change in the facility.
And I like that, and I think, as Todd mentioned, many of these things are interconnected. That topic brings together probably a dozen of these that are moving forward in a positive direction, but we, when the stars align, we need to be at a point where we can recognize it and seize that opportunity.
Todd?
Can I see if I can keep us moving here? I'd like to make a motion that we adopt all of the greens that are on the list and include all of the six votes, those that were six votes that you have the question mark on, including number two, which was a 6-2-2.
Yeah, I missed that with my question mark.
Thank you, Bob.
And that we approve all those as greens as consensus for the council.
Second that.
Any debate or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Unanimous. Thanks, Todd.
Can I make another motion?
Yes.
I'm not going to move to adjourn. No. It's not crossed my mind. Representative, it's not crossed my mind. That we take number 15 and number 65, that and we agree that they are consensus regs.
Okay, motion to
second it.
Thank you, Leland.
Is that number 16
or 15? 16. Sorry, did I say 15? Okay. I don't have my glasses on. 16.
That's a small print.
16 and what?
16 and 65. 65. As consensus rest. And well, let me amend that. Can I amend that to include 53 as well? And see whether we get an argument.
Number what, Bob?
53. Buy farmland in the Great Salt Basin and take agricultural water rights out of use. Got 0, 5, and 5. So no greens, 5 yellows, 5 reds.
Just
okay.
I second the amended motion.
Okay. Have a motion and second. Any better discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Any abstentions? Yes. You're on a roll, Todd. Anything else? Want to order lunch?
No more.
What more did you do? To include Ed. Talked about this cover letter that helped summarize it to make it So that if you're not going to read the whole report, let's just get a summary in the cover letter.
Okay.
I'm sure you'd do that anyway.
Well, let's put one together and circulate it, comment, before we go out with it.
Okay.
And again, these are long-term issues, so it's not like we need to move tomorrow. Just by the end of next week, huh?
So that becomes, I think, my question for Todd on your first motion, is on the consensus items, then how do we, are we, I mean, I agree that they appear to be consensus here, but how do we then move forward with those, and at what time increment, how quickly? I mean, is that something that we expect to publish immediately, or that we could see a list of, a cleaner list of consensus items at our next meeting and figure out how to use it? I don't know, I'm just asking the question.
Dylan, just briefly to that, to that one question in terms of timing and how to engage. The governor's office, and this qualifies a little bit what you said, the governor has not, me, physically accepted the document, but didn't accept all the recommendations, didn't endorse me. And I know that the governor's office is heavily engaged in trying to sort it out and decide which of these are important. So the extent he's doing that, then this group or any other group saying these are important might help inform that winnow or sifting process that's going on in the governor's office right now.
And you know, we could have, so we will have those soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's an ongoing process. I don't know how soon that would be done.
We'll have a report that we would transmit. And then what we could do at later meetings again is pick some that we think are very important and find out how we can advocate for those more directly than just the report itself.
That was kind of my intent, was to kind of winnow this down to the grains, and then to Jeff's point that this is complicated, and there's, you know, we want to try and say, okay, of those grains now,
if you look at, for example, 29, 39, and 40, to me those are all the same concept. And do they really, when you add all three of those together, is that really what we want to say that we support, or do you combine those in a way that kind of more accurately reflects what it is we support?
And I just think, I go, well, how did I vote on that? Because that sounds an awful lot like the one I just voted on.
I was just going to say, we threw out the ideas, right? And then we voted on them individually. But it seems to me, before we recommend something to the governor's office, that they need to come, they need to have specific discussion in this body, and we need to say, okay, we want to move this item forward, rather than have kind of a compilation of individual thoughts. Mm-hmm. Because of exactly what you said, a lot of those might be able to be stated more appropriately,
tied together,
combined.
Because the way I see those, some of these are more of an objective. They have parts to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's one other thing that we can do in this combining effort. That's to take all of those that require education and put them together. I know Utah State University has worked a lot on several of these items. And if we could just take those and combine them, I think that would be another focus that would be very beneficial.
Don, maybe we talked briefly about getting wet water to the lake. It's not really a strategy, it's actually the final criteria for success of any of the strategies. So maybe that it should be built into the description of the project, of the purpose of doing this, and more kind of an overriding quality that all successful strategies have to have. Maybe
have a mission, and where do all these fit in trying to do that?
Yeah, it's just so it's captured somewhere, but that's going to be a major measure of success, I assume, in trying to get any of these strategies, unless the strategies are so specifically, I don't know how anyone could escape that criteria, but there might be.
So your comments, let me try and synthesize what I'm hearing. You're suggesting that we not put out anything until after our next meeting. Then our next meeting, we take a more substantive review of these items, try to prioritize them. But in the interim, we try to come up with a letter that maybe makes those points and does some conclusions of the conclusions and discuss that at our next meeting rather than take any action before then. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to get just the Greens in front of us and then sit down as a group and then say, okay, we now know these are consensus and let's take those 20 and let's rank them. I mean, maybe not even rank them, but you know, these are the shoulds, coulds, and mights and within the Greens and kind of narrow them down.
So to rank those, would you be amenable to another ballot in between now and the next meeting where we take the Greens and, have you rank them and then we'll do a mathematical compilation?
This dialogue is critical around the issues for everybody to sit in here and talk about, you know, because Tom made some points of things that I didn't think about that, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you're sitting there yourself reading, remember, this is the name of the strategy, let alone the whole detailed thing. I think there's some wisdom in having us sit here. It makes for a longer meeting, yeah. But us sitting here talking about these things and me hearing what Chris's comments are, you know, and how that ties in, I just think that's important as we start to rank them.
Well, this winnowing process was essential because to have a substantive conversation about 72 strategies would take 5 years. Not possible.
And Don, what I see came out of this, and I think this was very helpful, is the consensus looks like it's water quality, quantity, education, and research. I mean, if you look at what we reached consensus on here, it's kind of those four categories, and then within those categories, you know, how do you rank the different strategies? I mean, there may be more, but those are the kind of four that.
Well, we have a contract that somebody's going to write a report and finish it up, right?
We're pretty well there.
Okay, so whatever we do now is somebody here doing it.
Yeah.
And it, you know, seems to me that we have Greens. And we're not saying today that there's a priority of it. But we believe that these all should be on the table for consideration. And if we're trying to make an impact on the governor's office, saying which ones should we consider, unless they just backburned this and it's not going to see the light of day for another 6 to 9 months, I don't know as if we have the time to say, let's consider each of them. But I do believe we can come back with the prioritization of the Greens and say, okay, for these five are the really important ones, or we compile several of those, like Jeff said, to make it into one, but these five concepts are very important. There could be two letters. I mean, and we could take a meeting or two to get the second one done while we work on these items, but.
I don't disagree with that other than there's some of them that are simply duplicative and don't really express, I think, what we want them to. I mean, they express
that's why I want to
consensus,
have that
but they don't. You know. They don't fit together. They could fit together better. And so I don't know how to get to that point. Other than I don't mind putting them forward.
We talk through them. I think we talk through them and figure out which ones need to be pulled together.
Jeff,
I think it's a great idea to send out one more and really target in on those Greens. See where we're at. I think it's important to rank, though. The one issue we may come into is something that's ranked extremely high, may not be readily achievable. There might be some low-hanging fruit on there that can be implemented immediately, and something that we rank very highly may have a budgetary constraint on there that we just can't overcome. And so I think if we rank them, then we have a chance to dial in on the top ones at the next meeting and come to a consensus on what to recommend to do next. I can get the best of both worlds.
So we should do this next ranking, including obstacles and likelihood of feasibility and those kind of things, or do we wait to do that?
I think if we rank them based on what we think is the best possible outcome for the lake, and then maybe we talk about it in the next meeting and say, is this something we can immediately do, or is this kind of a elephant hunt and we need to push it down the road a little bit?
The individual ranking maybe becomes a guideline for the group ranking.
Yeah.
That type. Yeah. It's since we start introducing the problems of implementation, then all of them are going to be in
peril,
hot water. But I think so. I think this should be kind of a idealistic ranking, without trying to put feasibility in at this point in time. So
that's
it's this.
That's what you're suggesting, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What's good for the lake?
One, and then we can talk maybe about the feasibility in the next one before we send a letter on to the.
Gotcha.
The yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So if I send you out the ballot with 20 greens, you can go 1, 6, 4, 10, sure. 9, mm-hmm. 11, rank them how you want to rank them, and you'll get it back to me quickly?
On most days I can count to 20, so
Anne, you have a question?
Well, I just want the thing that I took, you know, from looking over all these, it's not completely fleshed out how it's going to be done, right? So to say it can't be done or it's going to be really hard, it doesn't override the fact that something needs to be done, right? So don't, like you know, Chris said, don't override your, let's go to the really what, really idealistic what could be done, and it might be really really hard, but that doesn't mean that we still couldn't try to do it. I mean, there are going to be roadblocks, absolutely, but don't override that unless you just, you know, that if you think it's a complete pipe dream, then I think that's fair. I think that you need to recognize that and then rank it low.
Yeah, I think to a point, because pipe dream, when you talk about the Lake Powell pipeline, that is a pipe dream that is good for the lake. If you could pump water from the color,
right.
But is that realistic?
Right.
It's a pipe dream.
It's red, unintended.
Well, maybe we'll have a separate category of pipe dreams. Just to show we can think outside the box. Okay, well, I'm hearing two ideas. The one I'm hearing the most is that we do the next step of ranking, we narrow it down, we come back and spend a lot of time at our next meeting talking substantively about the items, those 20 or so items that we've identified. Leland suggested the possibility of at least releasing the report with a letter first and then coming back. I didn't hear any response to that unless the response was, no, let's not do that, let's wait until we can dig deeper. So someone make a motion here to get me off the dime.
I'll make a motion that you send out a survey of the green items that we've approved as consensus items in the previous motion, that we rank those and then discuss them as far as priority at our next meeting.
I'll second that.
Any debate or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? It's unanimous. Always nice to operate unanimously. Good discussion. Thank you very much.
On that one, then, is the intent to get together and be prepared to create something like an office and the governing office and others. So, that sounds good.
Right. Okay. Agenda item 11:15, we're a few minutes behind schedule. Is there anyone here who would like to make public comments? We always have a public comment period at our meetings. Okay, fire away.
Nika Roundy, I work here for Davis County Community and Economic Development. I just wanted to mention that Davis County has a state scenic byway in the Legacy Parkway. It's called the Great Salt Lake Legacy Parkway Scenic Byway. And as we've all heard, moving forward with the West Davis Corridor, there's a group that is putting together the appropriate documents and resolutions and support letters to extend that scenic byway designation to the West Davis Corridor. And the reason I say that is because then we want to change the name to Great Salt Lake Scenic Byway. So one of the, you get judged on intrinsic qualities for the route. And one of those, of course, is the view shed of Great Salt Lake. So I just wanted this group to know that we're trying to move forward with that.
Now, I was under the impression that immediately after you opened Legacy Highway that it was actually called Skunk Alley.
Right.
It was either one, because it was like every 100 yards it was
I think it seems to take care of that. Well, it seems to me like the population might have been managed.
I'm not saying I didn't help a little bit, but I helped a little bit.
Thank you. Good luck.
Yes, thank you. It's a win-win for everybody, so it should be good.
Anyone else?
I would. I'm Lynn DeFreitas, the Executive Director of Friends of Great Salt Lake, and I just want to thank the Great Salt Lake Advisory Council for being you and getting into these kinds of issues that deeply affect the lake overall for all of us. And I just really appreciate your efforts, even though you don't have the money and administrative support and the authority. But you do an amazing job given the limitations. So please pat yourselves on the back and know that you deeply appreciate
your
efforts.
Thank you, Lynn. Okay, with that, I'll close the public comment period before someone jumps in and criticizes us, right?
I think we need to thank Don, though, for doing the share of this work and coordination for the project.
So we're nearing the end of our last meeting of 2017. At our last meeting, we decided going forward that it would be a more suitable schedule to go on the second Wednesday at 10 a.m. We tried it this time, and it seemed to work. We have a good turnout. We would propose meetings every other month on the second Wednesday. That would put us at January 10, March 14. I'll come back on May, July 11, September 12, and November 14. The reason there's question marks on May is because it would be May 9th, which is in the middle of the Great Salt Lake Issues Forum.
It's the start of it.
Start of it, yeah.
Yes.
For which I know many of you attend. And I hate to schedule meetings to conflict with that. We can either avoid a May meeting, we can schedule to conflict, or we can go a different time in May. But is the change to the second Wednesday at 10 good? I know it's never good for county commissioners. You have such crazy schedules, but
Wednesday mornings are generally better for me.
So the Wednesday at 10 is good. Is there a motion? What do you want to do about May?
Find another date. I mean, in May.
Go May 2nd or May 16th? Does that leave anybody out?
I'll have a commission meeting, one of those.
Anyone want to voice?
Please, Dave.
Okay, let's put down the 16th. So now we have dates identified for 6 meetings next year. Someone willing to make a motion to approve that meeting schedule subject to the call of the chair, meaning if we don't have an agenda or major conflicts occur, you'll authorize me to shift that around. Thank you. Todd, and who seconded?
Leland,
thanks. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, January 10th at 10 o'clock. Commissioner Elliott, thank you for hosting us here. It's a great facility, works well for us. My recommendation would be we come back here again next meeting.
Okay.
We're adjourned. Thanks for your participation, everyone. Appreciate it.
Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Is Dave out of town or?
Yeah.
That's good thing. We're the alternate.
That's why we swapped that one.
Well,
we had to rush to get this one started.
It's good. This is good.
And we hope it.
Yeah. You're retired now, right?
I just want to make a little contract with PNC to do this when I need it. I need it. It doesn't interfere really with my Are you getting ready to retire?
No. I wish.
got away from
it. I turned 52 in December, so apparently society would like me to stay for a little longer.
Let's just wait.
And my friend